Last week, I kind of focused on that impressions thing because of the feelings world that we live in. And today, I want to do it as well because I think it's that big a deal. Because one of the questions I get, and I got last week, even after we talked about how to test these impressions, is, Pastor, I'm in the Word a bunch, and you keep saying you hear from God, but I mean, what does that look like? How does He do it? And so today I want to give you a biblical perspective of how God speaks, like how to experience it, how to receive it, how to do all those different kinds of things. And I guess before we get started in that, I want to give you some prerequisites. How many of you guys would say you're amazing prayers? You know, we got some prayer giants in the congregation today. Okay, why is that? Okay, we got one prayer giant. How many prayer midgets do we have? Like, or you know, people that aren't very good. Why do we struggle with prayer so much? I mean, God, He created us. He loves us. I mean, He cares so much about what we're going through in this world, and yet why is prayer such a hard thing for us to grasp hold of? It connects us with the most powerful entity in the whole entire universe. He can do anything. He speaks things into being. If I was up here and I could do that, I'd speak myself a Diet Coke because, you know, I have that addiction. So I would do that, but I'd be God, so I'd make it so it wasn't bad for me. So, you know, it'd be good. But the reality is, why do we distance ourselves so much from Him? So I'm going to start with some prerequisites to how to hear from God in our life. And each one of these is super important. And the first one I'm going to give you is this. We must realize, but I'm going to add another word. Realize and trust that God actually cares about the details of my life. Matthew 6, 31 and 32, it just says, don't worry about what you eat or what you wear. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. It's an amazing verse to me. I know God probably cares about what I wear more than I do because I let my wife pick it out in the morning, that kind of thing. But He cares about what I wear. He cares about what I eat, what I drink. He cares about the most intimate details of my life. And sometimes I forget that. Sometimes when I'm praying, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if God wants to weigh in on this particular thing. It seems a little bit selfish that I want this or whatever. And I know I'm not supposed to be selfish in my prayers. And there's a hesitation sometimes for me to bring those things to God. God, would you help me with my finances? That seems selfish, but man, I need help with my finances. So I have to remember that He cares about the details of my life. That He cares about everything that I'm going through. The comment that was made that hurt my feelings, the finances that are freaking me out, the situation over here with my family that we don't know how to solve, the whatever else is going on in my life, I need to trust that He cares about the little things that are worrying me, that are struggling, causing me to struggle at this moment, that I like to try to figure out by myself, but I know that I don't have the answers. I need to remember that He actually cares about those things. Because when we forget that He cares, we don't go to Him. And we try to do everything by ourselves, and we get in a mess, and we get more hopeless, and we get more stressed, and we get more anxious. We need to remember that He's got us, that every detail of my life He cares about. And why does He care about every detail of my life? Because He created me. Because I'm His kid, His spiritual kid, right? He created me, knit me together in my mother's womb. He cares about me as His own child. You get glimpses of that as you go through life. We just dropped my daughter off for her junior year in college. And it was easier this year, right? We were driving home, Beth and I were like, well, that stinks. We had her all summer. It was great, you know, and now she's gone again. And we think, well, hopefully she'll remember to call more this year, you know, that kind of thing. But it's an amazing thing. You know, she's there and then she's not. And God cares about that struggle. He cares about all of that. But I think that's the way God thinks about us too. He loves us, He's nurtured us, He's grown us, He's been there every second of our life. He just wants to hear. When my daughter calls us and tells us about her week, we rejoice because we want to know everything. What are you struggling with? What's exciting? What did you do? I mean, we want to know every detail of her life because we're that interested in her. Why? Because she's our daughter. Add that times that by a million and you get a perspective of how much God cares about you, wants to know about, wants to hear from you as you go through life. There should be never a moment in your life where you hesitate going to the God who loves you. It's that important. All the way through the New Testament, He says, ask. He says, ask, seek, and knock. He just says, keep on asking me. I'm here for you. Because He's interested. Again, because He's your Heavenly Father. And you'd be blown away by how much more interested he is in your life than you could possibly imagine. Let me give you another prerequisite. You need to ask or learn to start asking specific questions. Why? Because if you want Him to answer, you need to know if He answers. When you're looking for guidance from God, He calls on you to ask specific questions then. And the more specific a question you ask, the more God is able to answer it. So instead of saying, God, what do you want me to hear today? You ask him specific stuff. You say, God, what do you think about this? Is this in line with your will? Is this what I'm supposed to do? What's the next step? What should I do from here? How should I do it? You ask him specific things so he can get in there and he can meet some of the stresses and the anxieties and the worries in your life. Over 20 times in the New Testament, again, he says, ask, ask, seek, and knock. The scripture says, I want you to know, right, what God wants you to do. Ask him, and he'll gladly tell you. James says, in light of all of that, he says, then you have not, because you ask not. God's up there. He's like a parent waiting for his kid to call from college or whatever. He's like, I'm right here. I'm here to help. I mean, if you're struggling with something, I'd love to talk to you about it. If you're excited about something, I'd love to rejoice with you. I mean, I'm here. Stop not calling. Stop toning me out. Stop pretending that I don't exist. So often I think we act like practical atheists as we go through life. We just keep doing our thing, and when we need them, we'll run over here. But he says, I don't want you to have to struggle with anything as you go through life. I don't want you to ever feel like you're alone as you go through life. I don't want you ever want to be without hope as you go through life. Because I love you. I've got you. You're mine. So he gladly tells us, he says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, scripture says, ask him and he'll gladly tell you. God wants you to ask for his advice. He's willing and he's waiting. He wants you to ask advice about your relationships and your career and your faith and your finances. He's eager and he's waiting to talk to you. So it says, ask and believe he's actually interested in the details. Now let me give you one more thing. Believe, and then I'll add the word trust, that he wants to answer. Sometimes I think we throw up these Hail Marys not believing that God will come through. I don't know, we ask him to do stuff if we don't trust that he'll actually answer. I shared with you before that, you know, when we used to pray for everybody individually in the church and we'd go through those prayers, we did a study one time. Over a 3-month period of time, we looked at all the prayers and then we figured out which ones were answered, and then we came back and we shared with the church at the end of, I don't know, I guess 6 months. It gave us, you know, 6 months for him to answer all those. He answered over 90% of the prayers we were praying on Sunday morning. I shared with you again the story of that lawyer in the middle of a small group. I challenged him to do a prayer journal. So for the first time in his life, he does a prayer journal, and he did it for about a year, year and a half before he actually told me and was talking about prayer again. And he said, you know what? He goes, I didn't believe you when you said that God answered our prayers all the time. So for the last year, year and a half, I've been doing this thing. I've been doing the prayer journal. I've been writing it down. And he goes, just last week, I actually, out of the blue, decided to add up, you know, how many prayers he answered, which ones he didn't, because I put a date by when I prayed it, and I put a date by when he answered it. He was a lawyer, so kind of specific, but he says, he's answered 91.7% of my prayers, right? And then he went on, he says, in another 5.6%, I can see him working on it, and then the other some kind of percentage, he says, I know that he said no already, you know? But he says, God has answered every single one of them with yes, with wait, with no. He is so much more faithful than I thought, and this has changed my life and my perspective on prayer, and I will never, ever not go to him again. Nothing in my life is 91.7% effective, he said. So you need to trust that he wants to answer. In James 1, 5, and 6, it says, God is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He won't resent it. But when you ask him, be sure you really expect him to tell you. James says this because all too often I think God is way more ready to talk to us than we are willing to talk to him. Remember, he tried 3 times with Samuel. Hey, Samuel, I'm here. And he runs to Eli and said, did you call me? No. And 3 times God spoke out trying to get his attention. So when you come to God, be specific in your prayers. Ask him about what he wants you to do, how he wants to handle different situations in your life. But expect him to answer, expect him to come through, because he is able and he loves you as his kid. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, he asks God 6 specific questions. And in chapter 2, he waits and he listens for God to answer. And then he writes them down what he hears, right? This is what he says. I will climb my watchtower and I will wait to see what the Lord will tell me. The Lord gave me this answer. Write it down what I revealed to you. And so out of this book of Habakkuk, he gives us 3 steps if we want to tune in our ears to God. Not only to hear from his word, to hear from teachers, to hear impressions, but this is the way we're supposed to do it. And as I go through each of these, you'll see why we don't hear from him more often. First thing he gives us is this idea of withdraw. Very first thing that you're going to hear God speak to you is you need to withdraw, and that means to get alone, to get to a quiet place. Habakkuk says this. He says, I will climb my watchtower, which is kind of a Hebrew expression that means I'm going to get alone. I'm going to get off by myself. I'm going to eliminate external distractions so that I can hear God. He's going to find a quiet place alone. I think in today's world, that can be kind of hard, can't it? Especially if you have kids, or especially if you're a mother of preschool students or kids. I mean, it's just hard to find a moment even to be by yourself. I read recently about Susanna Wesley, who was the mother of 18 children, if you can imagine that. Two of her sons, Charles and John, shaped England in their days. Charles Wesley wrote several hundred songs and hymns, which the church still sings today. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist denomination. Both men had a tremendous effect in their life, both in the church and in England. But with 18 kids, how did Susanna Wesley ever find a quiet place to pray? This was her solution. Every afternoon, she would sit in her rocking chair in her living room, throw an apron over her head, and she'd pray. And the children knew that if mom was sitting in her rocking chair with an apron over her head, do not bother mom, right? Somehow she had made that very clear. But she found a way just to spend time with them. During COVID, Mike was sharing an experience that he had in a small group, which they did over Zoom, right? And said one of the moms in the group locked herself in her closet. So why? So that she could focus on the small group and what God wanted to do during that time. I think that was amazing. She locked out her kids and her husband and said, figure it out. I got to focus on this because God's more important right now. And I want to make sure I don't miss anything. I'll say both of those women are godly people who understood that unless you focus on him and let you get time away where it's just him and you, you're going to miss out on so much. Got to find a way to withdraw so that it can just be you and him. Find a place where you can be quiet and get alone with God and listen. I think one of the reasons that we don't hear very well today, hear God speak to us, is because we're always surrounded by noise. The radio is always on. The TV is always on. The computer is always on. The cell phone's always going. It's always dinging and making us look. It's almost impossible not to look sometimes for some people because it keeps going on. There's still something. You go to the restaurants and you see a family of four all on their cell phones. You see youth sitting across from each other, texting each other. They could talk, but they're texting each other. We're so connected to these phones, and so we get to a world where everything's so noisy, where we're so distracted, that it's hard to hear God's still small voice. One of the biggest struggles of people who watch online, they've shared with me, is that they can't put their phone down, right? And they want to go do something on their phone while they're watching the thing, or they want to go make something to eat while they're watching the thing, and they get so distracted while they're trying to tune in and hear what God is to say with them that day. So the first step you need to do is you need to withdraw and get off to a place by yourself. Get alone and get quiet. In Luke 5:16, it says this, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, I share that as a verse of significance because as you look at Jesus' life, it was very active. And yet, in spite of that, it said he often withdrew. And here's the thing. I wish it was just that simple, that we just need to find a way to get quiet, which is hard enough in our world today. But if we could just get quiet and God would always speak to us, I would love that that was the case. But it's always a little bit more layered than that, isn't it? So I take you to the second step. We need to get to a place that after we have found a quiet spot, that we need to quiet ourselves, your mind, your emotions, which just leads to the second thing, right? This idea of wait. Wait means, in this case, calm your thoughts, calm your emotions, which is a little different than just being quiet, isn't it? But you need to quiet yourself down. Because the second thing that Habakkuk says is this, I will station myself. In the Good News Version, it says, I will wait. But what does it mean to station yourself? It means don't move, stay put, don't run around, be still. When I station myself, it means I'm going to stay there for a while until something happens. Think about the time it might take, right? Habakkuk says, I'm going to station myself so I can hear God. And God speaks to the person who takes time to listen to him. Again, one of the reasons I think we don't hear God very often is that we're just so busy. God, I've got 30 seconds for you today to speak to me. Go! And we expect him just to jump in that 30 seconds on our timetable. But hear me say this. Hurry is the death of prayer. It is. If you're going to hear God speak, not only do you need to get at a quiet spot, but you need to mentally and emotionally calm yourselves down so you can open up your ears. Let me describe to you why most prayer lives for people is unfulfilling. Here's the typical experience. You're going to pray today, so you get off by yourself. You've nailed it. You found a quiet spot. You're pretty proud of yourself. This is working. There's nothing but deafening silence, right? But the moment you get down to pray, your mind starts running, reminding you of everything that you've got to do that day. I find that because I think at such a fast rate, about 90% of the time, when it gets to be quiet like that, my mind is going everywhere. It's bouncing over here, bouncing over here, flitting to this, flitting to that. I find it difficult to focus unless I purposely slow myself down, both mentally and emotionally. Because what happens if I don't is I sit there and I think about all the things I got to do that day. I think of all the responsibilities I've got. I start thinking of things that I had forgotten to do that I need to do, and I need to go write those down in that moment, but that sidetracks me from the prayer. My mind's everywhere in that moment. Why? Because the devil's a jerk, right? And he makes sure that the moment that you try to actually connect with God, he floods your mind with every distraction that's possible. To be honest, it can be really difficult to calm yourself down, to let go of the immediate, and just to listen, to get yourself to a place where your ears are actually open again, especially when we're always in a hurry. And I tried this. Forcing yourself to calm down quickly doesn't really work. It's like trying to force yourself to go to sleep. How many of you guys can do that? Nobody. Nobody can. Right? You just have to wait. It just takes time. Sometimes it takes a brutal amount of time. It doesn't just work. You just can't force yourself to go to sleep. You have to wait. You have to wait for the RPMs actually to slow down enough until you can finally fade away, and it just takes time. But here's the cool thing. The Bible says that God speaks to the people who take time to listen. I think that's a challenge for our world today because we are super busy, and very few of us want to take time, at least the time it might take to be required to actually hear God's voice in our life. I'll give you the last one too. Watch. Let God give you a mental picture. Because the third thing that Habakkuk says is this, I will look to see what he says to me. He says, I will look at what God says. And it seems to me it would make more sense to say, I listen to what God says, because you listen to what people say, you look at other things. Why did he say this then? One of the important keys to hearing from God is to understand that God's voice is sometimes visual, right? God often speaks through mental pictures. It's hundreds of examples of this in Scripture where people were praying to God and God gives them a picture, a mental picture, a vision of some sort, where he gives you a mental picture or image or vision inside your head. I know some of you don't even have an idea what I'm talking about, and that's okay, but if you'll grasp it, it will open up this whole new dimension in your prayer life, in your relationship with God. Now, some of you are sitting there a little skeptical, and you're saying, I thought that was a New Age thing, this visualization thing. And it is. I mean, the counterfeit type is, right? Let me make a point. Satan has never had an original thought in his life. He can't create because he's not the creator. Only God is the creator. Satan can only copy and pervert and counterfeit what God already does. And so whatever God does, Satan tries to counterfeit. He tries to pervert in some way. Let me give you some examples. God creates these amazing, gifted, godly teachers and preachers. So what does Satan do? He creates some amazing false teachers and preachers to confuse. God creates real miracles. So Satan comes along and creates false and phony miracles, fake and counterfeit ones. The Bible says that just because you see a miracle or perceive a miracle doesn't really mean it's from God. There are counterfeit miracles. God says, I want to create genuine fellowship. That's why I gave you the church, right? It's a place where there's support, love, people helping each other, genuine fellowship. So Satan comes along and says, I'm going to give you a counterfeit fellowship. Think beer commercials. It doesn't get any better than this. But if you honestly believe that, and there's so much for you to grow and so much for you to learn. It just shows people having a good time drinking beer. So you think, oh, if I have a beer, I'll have that kind of fellowship too. I'll have that kind of friends too. Everything God does, Satan tries to counterfeit. I guess what I'm simply saying is this. God gave you the ability to imagine and to hear. Don't let the devil take that away from you. You withdraw and then you wait and then you watch. And you watch for the real thing. What does that mean? In Ephesians 1:18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know the hope to which he has called you. I pray that the eyes of your heart be open. You think, well, I thought my eyes were in my head. No, he's not talking about physical eyes. He's talking about spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, spiritual senses. When you were born physically, you got a set of senses, didn't you? Hear, taste, touch, smell, and feel. When you were born spiritually, you were reborn and got a set of spiritual senses, spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. For example, have you ever been reading through the Bible? Maybe you've read it 100 times before, but all of a sudden today it's sticking out. It's popping out at you. It's like God is screaming at you through the pages. Or you're sitting in a sermon and you're all of a sudden you feel like the pastor's talking just to you. He's awakened your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears to hear. He says, I don't want you to miss this. Write this thing down right now that I'm telling you. The scripture says in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Again, there's an unseen part of reality and there's a seen part, but there's a part that we don't see that's just as real as the part that we do. You don't see God sitting here with us today, but he promises that he's present. And I'm telling you, he's more real than this building that we're worshiping in that will one day decay, because God will never decay. God is saying, I want you to learn to see things from my perspective, to hear my voice, to see things from my viewpoint. And then, of course, what do? You test it. That's why we talked all last week, and it's got to meet all four of those tests, doesn't it? You can't be from the burrito the night before. It can't be from the movie that you saw, or it can't be from the situation that you're so stressed about that you've just convinced that this has to be the right way. It's got to measure up with God's word. It's got to be authenticated by the church. It's got to meet all four of those things that we talked about. And if you get to that place where you start hearing God speak, whether through the pages of Scripture, which is 90% of the time, whether it's through teachers, 9% of the time, or whether it's through that still small voice that happens, you start to realize how much God absolutely loves you in this life, how much he cares about you. See, God's desire is really more than just about telling you to do things. It's about a relationship. He wants to hang out with you. He wants a place where he can hang out and commune and discuss and dialogue and converse and get to know each other. He wants to take it past knowledge to a friendship where you're sharing everything with each other. If you begin to practice these biblical steps, I promise you, will open up a whole new dimension, and again, to your prayer life and your relationship with him. And again, it's just another way that you can hear that God says, I love you. I forgive you. I've got you. I'm marking all things for your good. Nothing is impossible with me. I am your strength. I am the rock on which you stand. I am there for you as you go through life. We need to hear these voices again and again and again, because it's God's voice to us through the pages of Scripture, through teachers, and through that still small voice. My prayer is that we would this year make this year a little different, that we would stop the busyness, that we'd carve out time for God so that we could get reacquainted, so that we could re-remember, so that we could hear. Pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. You know, as we talk about this whole hearing from you, it gets complicated in this last phase when it's about impressions, Lord. But man, if we just remember that you are consistent, that it always matches your word, right? That you'll never tell us something that is contrary to your word, that it's matched with other believers authenticating the message, that it's continually something that we can test as we walk through life, then we'll never go astray. Our prayer today, Lord, is that you would open up our ears to hear, that you would help us re-remember that you are the most important thing, that we'd carve out time for you, not just to be in your word, but to listen. And that's my prayer today, that somehow you would send your spirit and cause us to carve out time for the thing that's supposed to be the number one thing in our life. And I pray that today in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.